At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. An anti-sanctuary cities bill faces a final vote this morning in the Texas Senate. Senate Bill 4 would deny state grant money to local governments when they don't cooperate with federal requests to hand over immigrants in custody for possible deportation. An amendment added yesterday would also allow the state to remove a county sheriff from office for refusing to honor federal detention requests. Lubbock Republican Senator Charles Perry authored Senate Bill 4.
What's at stake here is the rule of law. What's at stake here is inconsistently applying laws across this country as well as this state. People believe that the laws are applied differently to different groups for different reasons based on the elected official of the day.
If the Senate approves the bill, it goes to the Texas House, where it may not get a big welcome. Some Republican members have concerns, and Fort Worth Republican Charlie Guerin has his own sanctuary cities bill.
We've got House bills to hear before Senate bills, and the Senate bills, you know, they're going to have some bills over here this week, I understand. That doesn't make them go to the top of the list for that, and we'll get to the Senate bills when it's time to get to them.
The Senate has moved quickly to adopt the sanctuary cities ban after the governor designated it as an emergency item. Dallas County commissioners yesterday approved a resolution welcoming immigrants to the county, including those who are undocumented. A non-binding resolution calls for law enforcement to stop what are considered non-essential collaborations with federal immigration officers. A statement yesterday from Republican State Senator Don Huffines called the commissioner's decision, quote, dangerous and reprehensible. Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez has said her office works with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Tarrant County Sheriff Bill Wayburn recently told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram he wants his deputies trained to ID undocumented immigrants. A new Pew Research Center survey finds most adults support routine vaccines for children, but how Americans feel about vaccines also can vary depending on age, race, and education. In Texas, there's a growing group of parents who oppose mandatory childhood vaccinations. As part of our Breakthroughs Project, Lauren Silverman spoke with Carrie Funk, the main author of the Pew Report.
Let's start with the headline from this survey. What's the overall level of support for requiring measles, mumps, and rubella vaccinations for kids who are in public schools?
You know, fully 82% of Americans across the nation say that healthy children should be required to be vaccinated in order to attend public school.
So that's pretty high.
That's the vast majority of Americans. 17% think instead that parents should be able to decide not to have their children vaccinated, even if that creates health risks for others.
And so in Texas, there's an option for parents to opt out of childhood vaccinations, even if they don't have a medical reason. They can use something that's basically a conscientious or a religious objection. Is that something that's common across the country?
You know, what's interesting is that there are a number of groups who have comparatively more concern about the MMR vaccine. And one are parents with young children who are directly facing the decision to vaccinate their children according to the recommended immunization schedule. And they are slightly more likely to say parents should be able to decide, but still 77% of this group supports the idea of a school-based requirement.
Why might parents who have young children have more questions or concerns about an MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine than parents with older children?
So, you know, that's a good question and hard to answer directly from the survey. Certainly public health officials are especially focused on this group because these are the parents who directly face the question of immunizing their child on the recommended schedule. What's interesting here as well is that you're seeing the views of parents with young children, that is anywhere from birth through age four. They're more likely to have concerns about the risk of side effects from the MMR and see fewer benefits. And it's really the older adults who are most strongly in support of a school-based requirement for the MMR vaccine.
I wonder if that has anything to do with older American adults having witnessed measles outbreaks in the past.
You know, it's certainly one thing that comes to mind, and we've seen this kind of pattern in previous surveys that asked more generally about childhood vaccines, not quite as specific as these questions, where we often saw oldest adults, 65 and older, more supportive of childhood vaccines and think the benefits outweigh the risks.
What other demographic divisions did you see among Americans in terms of concern about the MMR vaccine?
One group are blacks compared with whites in particular. They tend to rate the benefits as lower and the risk as higher. Another group are people who tend to know less about science in general. We asked people several items about their general information about science topics, and those who know a lot about science were much more likely to say that the benefits of the MMR vaccine is high and to see the risk as low compared with those who don't know as much about science topics generally.
Is there a partisan divide as well between people who find themselves on one side of the political spectrum?
One of the interesting things here, certainly we saw President Trump when he was still a president-elect signaling the possibility of raising questions about the safety of childhood vaccines. But we don't see, at this point at least, any differences or not notable ones between Democrats and Republicans on this issue. And that's really important to keep in mind, as there are, you know, we're living in a time of a lot of political divide on other issues, but certainly not all issues.
Carrie Funk is Associate Director of Research on Science and Society at Pew Research Center. Carrie, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And finally, new rankings from U.S. News & World Report place Dallas-Fort Worth at number 15 among the 100 best places to live in the country. The report measured the most populous metro areas, and it touted the big city hustle of Dallas, the western flavor of Fort Worth, and the small-town pleasures and suburban securities in nearby communities. Analysts determine the rankings by the region's quality of life, job market, financial value, desirability, and net migration. Austin took the number one spot. Coming up on the BBC News Hour, the war on drugs has seen many battlefields, but the most active front line right now might be the Philippines. That and more coming up at 9 o'clock. In the forecast, sunny and a high of 75 today, but an overnight low of 38. The high only gets up to around 60 tomorrow. It's 58 in Dallas, 60 in Fort Worth.